Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and brought to you in part by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 9. The game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. We know one team that is into the semifinals of the 2026 World Cup. We'll talk about them. We'll talk about Atlanta United getting back onto the match. It didn't count, but we learned some things as they get ready for matches that do count next week, a week from tomorrow, in fact. But it is a Thursday, and Thursdays are where we get very interesting intersections between, in this case, soccer and entertainment and everything else. Noel White behind the glass, what's up?
What is up, Jason? Oh, man, I had a ball today placing my Panini stickers in my newly arrived hardcover book.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, while I watched France and Morocco. Fun match, interesting match. As soon as it got started, I was like, oh, Morocco taking it to him early.
Yeah, I wish they had kept it up. I get it from the Morocco side. Their striker, Saibari, has been so good in this tournament. He was out with injury. And I think they just got a little too conservative. And we've had this conversation on AST all summer where I feel like the teams that have stayed true to who they are the teams that have had the most success. The teams that have deviated when the moments maybe get really big or things force them to change, those are the ones who have struggled. And Morocco is fascinating because I set the bar for them that they had to get to the quarterfinals to be who they say they are, to be an elite team. They had to go semifinals last time, African Cup of Nations final, even though it's in dispute if they actually won it or not. That's a whole other story.
Right.
They got there, so they did that, and then they got to the final eight in this World Cup. They are among the elites. They are not on the favorites island that I've created for this tournament. They were on the outside. They tried to build a bridge today, but I think they tried to do it in a false way, because what they're growing into is actually really cool to watch, and it's something that I think the U.S. should be looking at in the long term. Morocco, last World Cup, very defensive, very good on the counter, but they were a very conservative team. I think they made the right decision ultimately, and I questioned it when they moved on from Walid Regragui, the previous manager, and they have opened things up more. They are more of an attacking team. Mohamed Awabi has had success with the youth national teams, and he's got them playing a style that, I mean, yeah, it's style. Like, we can argue about style all day, like what we like, what we don't like. He's got them more proactive. And that's great, because I think that gives you more chances to win. But in this game, without Ismaïl Saïbari, and against an opponent like France, I think they got too conservative. And when they did that, it is just a matter of time before the dictator does what he does. Kylian Mbappe, yay, missed a first half penalty. He kind of took a little bit of a dive to get the penalty, but we probably shouldn't say that too loud, or all the conspiracy theorists are going to be running around with the tinfoil hats on their head talking about things are rigged, right?
You got to make the content, Jason. The content has to be made.
I guess, but it's crazy like how some of the questionable content, in air quotes, is getting platformed in places that should know better. But
yeah,
that's
no,
a whole...
Trust me, Jason. I see the same thing on my side of my neck of the woods. So I get what you're saying there.
It's like when you're in these worlds and you see something, and you're like, "That's crazy." Whatever, that's crazy. And then people that you maybe like respect in various ways, or outlets you respect,
or
like,
or people you wouldn't expect to say something outlandish.
Yeah, they're like, "Oh no, that's not that crazy." Like, no, it's crazy.
And you're like, am I crazy? Like, I know I'm not crazy.
I don't think so. I don't think I'm crazy. I don't think there was any conspiracy in the Argentina game. I don't think there was any conspiracy in this game, even though Morocco complained about some things afterwards with the referees.
But everybody's gonna do that.
Well, now they think they can get away with it because people are actually listening to it, and it's getting a little bit too much.
Which is one of the good things that we're close to the end of this tournament, because to your point, that conversation is getting louder, almost louder than the game right now.
Yeah, it's a distraction.
We don't want that.
Because it takes away from the great soccer that we're seeing.
100%. Like, we are seeing greatness right now.
Yeah, it takes away from Morocco's performances to have these kind of things start to bubble up. I don't think it'll be the same as Egypt, but there's enough to where it's like, look, you lost. And Kylian Mbappe had a chance to not put it away, but at least open the scoring in the first half. Not a great penalty. It was a very long review by the video assistant referee. But the reason why it was a long review is because there wasn't contact.
You flopped.
Yeah.
Let's just can say it because I'm taking that leap into out of casual and into like really know what's going on now. I'll take this shot. He flopped. And Bobby flopped.
Here's where I'll give him a very slight benefit of the doubt, and where I think they stayed with the call on the field. I get the call on the field because when you see it live, you're like, yep, penalty, easy. And then you see the replay and you're like, oh, he didn't touch the ball, the defender.
Right.
But Mbappe's going down before there's any contact. And that's a tricky one. The reason why I think they let it stay is if Mbappe isn't going down there, it's a penalty. He's going to get tripped. It's a penalty. There's no way around it. Like, the guy's late. So,
which is why I didn't mind the call. I just felt like, you know, Mbappe did his job to sell it.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to put it. And I understand it. And there's times where, look, you're talking about a World Cup quarterfinal. You take whatever you can get, however you need to take it, and you get the goals. Well,
I was tickled though.
Yeah. Also, karma, understands a few things, and his penalty was saved because it did take too long to get to a final decision. He kept kind of resetting and going through his process, and he was just thrown off. He got distracted. It wasn't a great penalty. It was a good save.
But you know what? But you know what we call that in basketball, don't you, Jason?
What do you call that?
Ball don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
Ball don't lie.
That was exactly the message that I put in the group chat. But then, because he is the dictator,
he said,
I'm just going to have to show y'all who I am. And what a goal. Like, it looks simple, but there's two things to it that I think when you look at this, you have to really be looking at France going to the final and being maybe right now the favorite to win it. The relentless counter pressure to win the ball back.
Yes. Like,
that ball turned over back and forth three times in the probably 20 seconds before the goal. Like, Morocco wins it. They try to clear. France blocks that.
Mm-hmm.
It's still contested. Morocco tries to clear again. France blocks that. I think it might have been one more time that they tried to carry it out. France took it away. Play to Mbappe, and then he has just a little bit of space, gets to the right foot, and the way he strikes the ball, I think, one, I would actually really like to hear from some of our physics experts about this ball in particular,
mm-hmm.
because I'm noticing more top spin shots with this ball. It's really hard to get top spin on a shot in soccer. You can get the side spin really well, bend it like Beckham, we all know. You can get the outside of the foot spin, which I love. There is nothing better than a great outside of the foot shot or pass to me. That's one of the best things ever. But this one, he comes across it and from underneath it through it. So it's like a tennis shot, like a driven top spin shot with a little bit of that right to left action. And when you see the angle from behind him, it's brilliant. And he knows exactly what he's doing. It's not an accident. It's absolutely brilliant. He is, I don't care if he's a dictator or not, he is unbelievable in what he's doing in this tournament. He's now tied Lionel Messi with 8 goals. He's matched his own total from the last World Cup. He is the first player ever to score 8 or more goals in 2 separate World Cups. He's the only player on record since 1966 with 10 or more goal involvements in 2 different World Cups. Because he wasn't done, he gets an assist on goal number 2 that and Ousmane Dembele scores.
I want to talk about that assist because that was so beautiful to me.
Mm-hmm.
The way he was able to clear the space and drag the defenders with him to be able to open that goal up. Oh, it's so beautiful.
The jokes are and the memes are great about, like, no, all the goals are mine. But what he does in these moments is it's gravity. And Jarrett Smith always brings this up when we start talking tactics and teams and using the term of positional gravity. Mbappe will attract so much attention. Defenders are going to collapse, especially when he's driving. When he's carrying it forward, I mean, the basketball comparison that we talk about a lot between these two sports, you're going to the basket, everybody's going to collapse on you. You have passing options. And he is so good at picking the time to dish it. He'll hold it and get the defenders to him to make the pass at the perfect moment. And Dembele is a monster, and he gets the second goal. It's curtains at that point. Morocco had a little bit of a flurry. Not enough. They end up going out 2-0, and Mbappe is setting record upon record upon record.
I mean, yeah, it's no shame to lose to this France team. This France team is absolutely incredible. If Morocco was going to take a tumble, it was probably going to be now.
Yeah.
This team. And if you would have been able to beat this team, to your point, you would have put yourself, you would have leaped into that next pantheon of teams if you would have been able to beat this team. But to your point, they were shorthanded, and they handled this the best way they could. I mean, I think, to your point, coming out and trying to attack them and press them early was the right idea. I don't know if the heat got to them or if they felt like, you know, they just felt pressured and had to back off of the attack or whatever. But I do feel like that was the right approach initially.
I think they could test France in that way. And we haven't seen really anybody in this tournament be able to do that for a long stretch of time. Senegal may be the longest in the first game for 45 minutes or so. It's different than Paraguay to me. And I do want to spell this out because I think a lot of people went at Paraguay too hard in that they were very defensive, far more defensive than Morocco was. that's how Paraguay plays. That's who they are. That's their style. They are defensive. They are going to be combative. They're going to try to get under your skin. All those things. They did what they do. They were themselves. For me in this one, the disappointment was that Morocco was not this Morocco team. They didn't or weren't able to, and probably more of the latter. I don't think it was as much of a choice as maybe it felt like a little bit. I think France pushed them back a little bit more than maybe they were ready to handle. And this happens in games where you get a couple of opportunities going against you. You struggle to make things happen yourself. And you start to get conservative. And I think Morocco got too conservative. And they weren't able to switch that. They weren't able to get back into it. I mean, Adrien Rabiot, the French midfielder, he said, we had little to fear from this team. And he's not wrong. And I don't think he was saying it to be, you know, disrespectful. I think it's just the way that game played out.
Right.
Morocco wasn't able to scare them. And that's not who Morocco has been in this tournament. I would have loved to have seen him with Ismaïl Saïbari. He had a hamstring injury against the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. And just, you got forced back deep a lot. And Yacine Bounou was great, the goalkeeper. He kept them in it as long as he possibly could. But France moves on. They're going to play the winner of tomorrow's Spain and Belgium quarterfinal. France in the semifinal will be next Tuesday in Dallas, Morocco. It's the best run by an African or Arab nation at this tournament.
Yep.
They are the class of the region, and they are in that top tier of teams. But they didn't get to the island. They didn't get to the semifinal island. I think it's really looking like it's going to be chalk.
I was just about to say, it's looking real chalkish.
It is.
It's looking real chalkish.
I said this to Chris Thomas a little bit ago. I think the World Cup lends itself to being chalk more than any other tournament.
That's what I've seen. That has been one of my takeaways from this tournament. That I don't care how many teams they've added, it has just shaken out the way that you expect it to shake out.
The top four seeds are the favorites in these matches. They're all still alive. If one doesn't make it, I'm not going to be shocked. But I look at the three games that are coming up, and Spain and Belgium, I think Spain will handle themselves. England and Norway, I do worry if England had a lot taken out of them in Mexico. Erling Haaland is in form, maybe. Argentina and Switzerland. I think Switzerland is the weakest of the eight, but I think Argentina's had two slugfests to get here in the knockout round.
Mm.
How are they feeling? So I think all the favored teams should win, and it should be France and Spain on Tuesday of next week, and England and Argentina on Wednesday of next week here in Atlanta. And just go ahead and batten down the hatches if that's what we get.
Yeah, man. England already loves Atlanta, too. It's going to be a time if that happens.
Argentina loves them some Atlanta as well.
I know. Oh,
if they didn't have a game this weekend in Kansas City, they'd still be partying to underground Atlanta.
I believe it.
They would still be there. It's just, it's been amazing. More to come. I'll be back with you tomorrow night to recap what happens with Spain and Belgium and set up the Saturday doubleheader. But coming up on the other side of the break, Atlanta United had a friendly this morning. Mike Conte and I got a chance to call it, give you some takes on what we saw in a 3-2 win over Sporting Kansas City when we come back on Atlanta Soccer tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's AST / The Intersection on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. We've been talking a lot of World Cup for a long time. We haven't talked much Atlanta United in a long time. Had a chance to see Atlanta United in action this morning, and it was a good sight to see. A 3-2 win over Sporting Kansas City in a mid-season friendly, I guess is probably the correct terminology. Three 30-minute periods of play. Sporting Kansas City played their whole group for the entire 90, except they had to make one sub. They had other guys here. They played a separate match afterwards. Atlanta United played their starting group for most of them 60 minutes. Elias Baez, Pedro Amador traded off and played 45 minutes each. And then a group filled with some Atlanta United 2 players and some reserves played the final 30 minutes. And that group is what went out and actually won the match with a late goal. Things that stood out to me in this one. Atlanta was slow to get started. It was a 9:30 a.m. kickoff. You don't play a whole lot of games at 9:30 that are competitive. And this team hadn't played a competitive match against another opponent of this level since the last game of the regular season, May 24th, if I remember correctly. Dates are kind of blurry at this point in the AST summer run. That's all I can say. I thought they were slow to start. They gave up a penalty. It was a late challenge from Tristan Muyamba. And they responded really well. There was a sequence. And this is where things get interesting, Noel. And I got to get your take on this. So there was a sequence where Atlanta thought they had earned a penalty. It wasn't given. And then they were called for a foul like almost immediately after in the middle third that was very soft. And they got fired up, and it felt like the calls that went against them in those two moments really inspired them to play with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and go out and improve their play. It's funny how that goes sometimes.
Yeah, and I love when that happens. That's something that me and Dom have been looking for the Atlanta Dream Girls to kind of figure out how to push past the officiating and get over that hump and in this losing streak, which happened tonight. But yes, that's exactly what you want to happen with your squad when it happens, when they feel slighted or whatever. You want them to put that chip in their shoulder and go, oh, okay, that's how we're going to play? I'm going to play through you then.
there's another moment that you're going to like as well that I want to highlight from this game. But Jay Fortune equalized. Great finish from Fortune. It was really nice work by Tomas Jakob, and then Latte Lott, and then Fortune with the first-time finish from the top of the arc.
Beautiful.
3 minutes after that, Cooper Sanchez, the youngster, just graduated high school. He scores. Great goal. First shot blocked. Comes back to him. He scores with what we call the tres dedos, the three fingers. It's like a flick. Some call it a toe ball. It's not a toe ball. It's more of a flick with the instep. He even got a little bit of the outside of the foot action. It had a little bit of left to right on it. It was a really nice finish from him. That made it 2-1. Then a mistake. Ball played through. Lucas Ojos comes out for it. He forces Dejan Jovalić well wide to the left. Maybe there was a spot there where he could have retreated. He continued to be aggressive and chased Jovalić all the way out to the outside of the 18 out wide. And nobody else really got structured defensively. They put in a cross. They score. It was very sloppy all the way around. 2-2. And then in that last group of players, Cameron Dunbar, who has been great for Atlanta United too, he finishes on the back post. An awesome finish from him. Luke Brennan with the cross. Andrew Hardines, the academy midfielder who's broken through for the twos. Nice little 1-2 with Brennan. 3-2 win for Atlanta. But the other moment in this that I thought was really important, that is one of the biggest takeaways for me. Game had started to get a little chippy, and that was good to see. I think, you know, when you get exhibitions like this, sometimes they don't have the needed intensity. This one did. And Cooper Sanchez, who Cooper's a feisty one. He doesn't back down from anything, even though he's not the biggest guy in the field and he's usually the youngest. He got a little frustrated and shoved a Kansas City defender in the back. Kansas City midfielder Zoran Bassong didn't really care for it. He gets up in Cooper's face. And here's what I loved about Atlanta United's reaction. First, Jay Fortune right there next to him. They're playing together in midfield. They're both from the Atlanta United Academy. Jay Fortune's like, nah, you're not talking to him like that.
Love it.
So he gets in there. But then Tomas Jakob comes running in. Lucas Ojos comes running in from goalkeeper. And I couldn't see who it was that got Cooper out of the way. But basically the entire team got between Kansas City players and Cooper.
Love it.
I love Absolutely to see love everybody stepping up for him. And it wasn't just like his fellow homegrowns. It wasn't just guys he had played with for a little while. It was the entire group mm-hmm. defending their kid.
Yep. That's the kind of stuff you want to see, especially a team that's trying to like find their footing and find some camaraderie and build together some wins and hoping that, you know, this World Cup nap will provide something for them when they get back on the pitch. This is definitely a step in the right direction, in my opinion. Not only winning today, but winning the way they did, having to fight through a little bit of adversity and to show that, you know, I am my brother's keeper.
A little bit of attitude. I liked it. I liked it. Another thing I liked that was really interesting, and it gave me some flashbacks to some conversations I had with some of the coaching staff at the end of last season. Latte Lott played pretty much the entire time he was on the pitch as a right winger, not as a striker. Alexei Maranchuk, who we have seen play as a striker plenty, he was the nine. It was Latte Lott on the right side, Fafa Pico on the left. Now, Latte Lott hasn't played as a winger consistently in his career. He's almost always been a nine. But he played a little bit as a winger during his time when he was starting to break through, when he played in Italy, when he was starting to break through into the professional teams there, when he was with the reserve team at Atalanta and went out on loan. Played some on the right side. So it was fascinating to see it because I've talked about this for a while with Latte Lott. I've felt like his confidence is the biggest issue. When a striker loses their confidence, it's almost like a pitcher who can't find their fastball. Yeah. It's like a golfer when they get the yips with the putter. And it's confidence. It's mental. Out wide, for whatever reason, Latte Lott, it felt like he was freer. It felt like he had more space. It felt like he was playing more instinctively. He gets an assist in the match, which is very good. It wasn't perfect, but it felt much better. And I remember the coaching staff late last season when they were trying to figure out things to help get him going. I was told that in training, he in scrimmages when they'd play in training, he'd often drift out wide, and he felt comfortable there. They kind of liked seeing it there, and they were thinking about something like this. Now, Tata said it's not like this is definitely what we're doing, but he felt like it was something that gives them another option, gives them another idea. So I like it. I like trying this stuff.
Listen, when what you've been doing hasn't, you know, necessarily worked, and to your point, you know, Latte Lock looked a little freer out there, looked, you know, like it's something that could bring something on the pitch in this second half of the season, why not? Especially if it looked positive today.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction, and hopefully he can continue to build on it. Other things for me that jumped out, I mean, what Tata said about the team being good for the 70 yards or so in the middle of the field and having problems in the 18s, the boxes, totally accurate. That's been the issue all season. They've given up some goals they shouldn't be giving up defensively, and it's usually inside the 18, and they haven't scored enough. And that's also inside the other 18. Makes total sense. It's something that has been an issue for a while. Tomas Akob, I thought, was great in this match. He was involved in two of the three Atlanta goals. I thought he was really aggressive, getting high up the field. Love to see the personality from him. Chris Henderson spoke to the media early on in the match as well, and he said that the club could add 3 to 5 players in the transfer window through trades, through transfers. He's like, it's not just on the new guys who show up to turn the season around. It's the guys that are already here as well. Miguel Almiron back in Atlanta after Paraguay's World Cup run.
That was my next question. I was like, when will Miggy be back?
He's back in town. He, I think, has done some work up to this point with the physios. He'll continue that separate from the team over the weekend, and Monday, match week, he'll get back into the full team training.
So okay, nice.
Heading in the right direction. And that kind of leads us to what's on tap. It's brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. Regular season is on tap. 20 more games for Atlanta United this year. I think they need a minimum of 30 more points. That's straight up 10 wins, 10 losses, no draws. We know that's not going to happen. You need 30 points. That's kind of the target number for me to be within playoff shout. That could be a combination of 8 wins and then the needed draws you need to get. It could be 9 wins. It could go a lot of different directions. But 30 points is the number that I think they need. And they're going to have their first opportunity to pick up 1 or 3 in Nashville. Friday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, is the official start time. Our pregame coverage with Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz will start at 7 o'clock. And kickoff will be sometime after 8. It is going to be nationally televised on Fox. A lot of times that means a little bit of an extended pregame for all of us. We will be able to handle this and get you ready for that game. Now, Nashville has been really good this season. They're one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. So Atlanta United not easing back into the regular season, that's for sure. Just excited to get this team back, though, and we want to see if some of these additions, and there are rumors out there, want to see if any of them are, don't know if they'll be in the mix for Friday, but maybe the following games coming up after that, because it's a trip to Charlotte, it's a trip to New England, there's a trip to Philadelphia. The team will be back playing in Atlanta by mid-August. All right, coming up next, we close out the night, as we do, with a little bit of structure. The 3-4-3. Three players that stood out today, 4 headlines from the day, and 3 things that made me smile. All coming up next on AST on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's key.
...able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
And now we end the night with a bit of structure.
Shot, goal!
Let's get the formation set. It's the 3-4-3 on Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
I Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Noel reading my mind with a little bit of Killers music to fit into the AST/intersection vibe. I think the Killers might be my favorite band of the first decade of the 2000s?
I mean, it's a great choice. They're definitely up there for me. This was definitely one of my favorite bands to rock out to.
And they've had a lot of great stuff since that. The first album is one of the best debut albums ever, period. Like, that was my soundtrack, I'll date myself, to Euro 2004. Because the album came out, I think, the first week of the tournament. And I watched a lot of games at the brew house that tournament. And driving back and forth to the brew house, I listened to Hot Fuss by the Killers over and over and over and over and over again. Know pretty much all those songs by heart at this point. All right, let's get into this 3-4-3. Three standout players from the day, four headlines, and three things that make us smile on the players. Number one, I'm not trying to run afoul of the dictator. Mr. Mbappe, he missed a penalty, sure, but then he delivered. He's got 8 goals in the tournament. He's tied his total from the last tournament. He's the first player ever with 8 or more goals in 2 separate World Cups. 20 goals in 20 career World Cup games. A goal a game at the World Cup. That's insanity. He's only 27. He will be the all-time leading scorer in World Cup history before he is done, no question. He also passed his manager, Didier Deschamps. Didier Deschamps had 103 appearances for the French national team. This was Mbappe's 104th goal and an assist. He is doing it all for France right now. Now, number 2 on the standout players is the player who denied him from the penalty spot, Yacine Bono. He was the story of the game in a lot of different ways for me. The Moroccan goalkeeper, his 4th career World Cup penalty save. That puts him alongside Iker Casillas from Spain and Harald Schumacher from Germany. He also added big saves on Upamecano, on Desiree Doué. He had a fingertip save to keep out Lucas Digne. Morocco don't stay in the match as long as they did without their goalkeeper, Bono.
Yeah, he was outstanding.
Yeah, he's so good.
I don't care that, you know, Mbappe eventually scored. Like, there's only so long you're going to hold off in Mbappe, yeah. And there's more that goes on with that than just the goalkeeper. He, just like I felt like about Vinzinha in their match when they lost, excellent. Goalkeeper was excellent.
It's been a really good tournament for the goalkeepers. Yeah. There's been quite a few standout performances between Vozinha, between Aloy Room from Curaçao with 15 saves.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Bono has been great. So many storylines on the goalkeepers, and I think there's going to be a couple more before we're done. And then number 3 on the standout players, I'll go to the Atlanta United friendly and Thomas Akob. He was our man of the match on the streaming broadcast. He was involved in both of Atlanta's goals while he was on the field. I asked Tata Martino about his performance, and Tata singled out him getting forward, helping the team so much, but also said his ceiling is still much higher than what we've seen up to this point, and the coaching staff is really working to get more out of him. And he showed that feistiness, sticking up for his boy Cooper Sanchez, making sure that nobody got to Cooper. Thomas Akob was one of the first people in there in the scrap. All right, 4 headlines from all over. Number 1, a lot of people maybe need to delete some tweets and delete some takes. Christian Pulisic, diagnosed with a microfracture in the tibia and fibula of his right leg, a bone bruise. That's from the tackle. He's going full bore into a shot with his right leg. Defender got there first, and he kicks the defender, basically. So let me, for people who wanted to take shots at Christian Pulisic for not having to be subbed out of that game and not being able to run after he tried everything, here's what you do. Go to a brick wall and kick it as hard as you can. Let's see how that goes.
I mean, yeah.
It's not pleasant.
The takes were wild.
It felt like the memo went out, and it's like, okay, now we can really unload on this guy.
Yeah,
and
like
it's
like,
just unfair. It felt like
no, bullying. I agree. Like I get the American reaction and be like, at his comments of, oh, now I can rest now. Like I knew that was not gonna go over well.
Yeah, and it got taken out of context.
Yeah, I knew. And I know how American sports fans are. I knew how that was gonna go. So I was like, eh, maybe not. But there was a lot of pile on, like. The criticisms started just dialing up after that match, and I was like, we might be jumping the shark with this here.
Yeah.
This might be too far. And then we get the news that, oh, he's actually injured. So really this was Alex Mack in Super Bowl 51 with a broken fibula.
Mm-hmm.
Just out there trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like
tried.
He knew he could not go out there for Team USA and be on the pitch and give his all. And honestly, we should have known there was something going on with Christian Pulisic. We knew he was kind of limping into.
Right.
We knew he was limping into this tournament. So, again, I do think the criticism was overblown due to all of those factors. And then we find out, oh, there's actually a serious injury on the table. So, yeah, it's probably you're not going to be able to delete tweets, but we'll take a retraction.
Yeah, good luck on that. Some people have already doubled down. He is expected to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. So, hopefully, probably right around the start of the Italian season, he'll be able to join Milan. And they've got a new manager, Ruben Amorim, so he'll have to impress him. Number two on the headlines, the U.S.-Belgium round of 16 match drew a combined 50.1 million viewers across Fox and Telemundo.
Ooh.
The Mexico-England game drew a combined 46.7 million, just a little bit more on Telemundo, but not that much more for the Mexico-England game. So those two games in back-to-back days drew almost 100 million viewers. Both rank among the most watched sporting events in the U.S. outside of the NFL. The USA-Belgium game is the most watched sporting event other than an NFL game since the 1994 Winter Olympics.
Oh, wow.
There, really? Again, you might want to go delete some tweets. Just saying, there were some people with some takes about what this World Cup would be and what it would look like. And yeah, go delete them. Just go ahead, go delete them. You can apologize. You could pull the what was it Trey Young would always say? The apology needs to be louder than the disrespect.
As loud as the disrespect.
I'll say it needs to be louder.
I'll ride with you because I've had a ball.
Yeah, it's been so good. It's been so much fun, and people are watching. Yeah, I wish the U.S. had been able to get to another round, and you would have had an even bigger number. I don't think you're going to have bad numbers the rest of the way.
No.
I think you're going to have a lot of people wrapped up in this the rest of the way. And that leads us to number three, Spain and Belgium. They play tomorrow in Los Angeles, 3:00 Eastern kickoff. Spain are pretty decent favorites in this one. Opta gives them an almost 60% chance to win in regulation, a 70% chance to win in any way to get to the semifinal. La Roja, they have a record 6 straight clean sheets. They have not conceded a goal in over 10 hours of play. Rodri, the base of that midfield, has been outstanding on the ball and defensively. Lamine Yamal, starting to get going in this tournament. He has completed 17 dribbles among the leaders in the tournament. Belgium, look, they're coming in with some confidence after that win over the U.S. Romelu Lukaku, he became the second Belgian ever to score in 3 straight World Cup matches, all off the bench. He's been the instant offense in those areas. Spain, 11 meetings across all competitions. Spain has never lost to Belgium. They've won the last 5 times they've played by a combined 13-1. Now, they didn't lose to Belgium, but they were eliminated on penalties because those go down as draws officially in the 1986 World Cup. So going back in some history, you get a little bit of revenge here. Luis de la Fuente, the manager for Spain, he's not going to give you a lineup, but he confirmed that all the injury issues, Victor, Jeremy, Nico Williams, they're all available here. And he also confirmed that Spain have specifically worked on penalties if it goes there. They haven't conceded a goal. I don't know if they keep that mark going, but I do think Spain gets through Belgium in this one. I think they'll handle it. Number four. Couple of headlines. I want to go to the Houston Dynamo. So getting back into MLS mode as teams will start playing games at count next week. A player who at one point was in the mix for the U.S. men's national team, Duncan McGuire, he was ready to go to England to play for Blackburn from Orlando, and the paperwork got messed up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this was pre-intersection days. We didn't get to talk about this crazy story. So the paperwork got sent in too late. They missed it by minutes on the English side of things. So he couldn't go. So he had to come back to Orlando. Well, Orlando had already signed somebody new, and he kind of had to be a bench option and never really earned a spot again. Like it after they tried to, and he wanted to go. Like, it's not like they were trying to sell him against his wishes. After it didn't happen, it felt like he wasn't necessarily wanted. So he was coming off the bench a lot in Orlando. Now he's going to Houston, and it's a pretty big deal. Orlando are going to get $1.25 million in general allocation money, like essentially cap space is the best way to put it, and potentially another $1.15 million in performance-based targeted allocation money. There's also a sell-on clause. He had 14 goals in 2023, 10 in 2024. He's had injury issues, too. He's had to have, and this is really odd for a soccer player, but he's had to have surgeries on both of his shoulders. Just awkward landings and things. Yeah, it's like the strangest, but he had that coming into the playoff match against Atlanta back in 2024. Just very interesting situation. So, but he's going to Houston. I think that's a good move for him. And he's got, you know, there's a bunch of guys in that kind of mode who have been around the national team over the last 4 years, but ultimately didn't get into this group. You almost start with a clean slate now for American players. And whether it's in MLS or in other parts of the world, you got a chance to impress. You know, some guys will carry through, obviously, on this roster, but not everybody. So going to be interesting for Duncan McGuire and the Houston Dynamo. Three things that have made us smile over the last couple of days or so. I'll give you one. I want to talk about Andrew Hardines. He is an academy player right now for Atlanta United. I've called his games at the U16 level and at the U18 level. Over the summer, he has started to get into the mix with Atlanta United too. Got his first start a couple of, maybe about a month ago. Played really, really well, then has continued to get better. And I think what's so cool to see, because it's so hard to do, when young players go up a level, like when they go from the academy to the second team, they usually struggle and then kind of find their footing. Not Hardines. He immediately elevated his game, played better. And then the next time I saw him with the twos, he played even better. And then the next time, better. He gets the opportunity today, and he was even better. It was a short period of time, but it was so cool to see a young player getting that opportunity and earning first-team players' respect. It was very cool on the broadcast to see Tata Martino give him a big hug after the game for a really good performance where he looked like a seasoned vet out there with the group in the last 30 minutes of that game. What is something that has made you smile over the last 24, 48 hours or so? You were with me on Tuesday. This is kind of like the reverse darts.
Yeah, kind of, right? The positivity darts. I like it. I like this. Let's see. I'll give you three right quick. One, I ran into organically because I didn't watch any of these on the Nike app, which they probably hate me for. I ran into the Nike ad that had Kylian Mbappe running onto the set as to give their pre or post game analysis, and it was funny because as they ran on the set, I was like, they've lost Zoltan, and then Zoltan turns and goes, Zoltan will be back, and I was like, yeah, I kind of figured that's how that was gonna play out. I've liked these little series and bits of ads. They've mixed all of their catalog of players together in this weird hodgepodge. Soccer ads series that they've been running during this World Cup.
Wasn't it like 6 minutes and they're like chopping it up into bits and using it?
Yes, yeah, chopping it up into bits and using it as ads. But yeah, it's like a whole basically 6-8 minute commercial that you can watch on all the socials. So yeah, check it out. It's kind of funny. What's the other one? France wore their teal and copper kit today. Mm-hmm. And do you know why it's teal and copper?
It is Statue of Liberty, right?
Yes, it is too. Nike wanted to unite the U.S. and the France, use their shared commonality on France's kits. And so that's why you have the copper and the teal elements there to represent the Statue of Liberty. So that was fun to see when I saw it on the pitch.
Here's your interesting little bit of trivia about this game today. Morocco and France were the first two countries to recognize the United States as an independent nation.
Wow.
I did not know that until this day.
Well, there you go. Well, look at all. I love synergy. I love synergy.
The
people.
Things you learn, man, because of the World Cup.
Right? And then last but not least, Jason, did you get a chance to type in Erling Haaland today on Google?
What did Erling Haaland do?
Well, he did nothing. But what Google did, well, he tweeted for us to go Google it. And I follow him now because I've fallen into the rabbit hole. Erling has won me over. So I ran to Google, typed his name in.
I'm seeing it now.
And you see, yeah, the 16-bit rowing.
Yes.
Rowing Vikings at the – yes, amazing. I love it. I have fallen into the Erling machine.
Look at Erling go.
Yeah, look at him. Look at him roll. Look at him roll. So, yeah, those are my three things today that definitely made me smile. All in, Jason, we got 9 more days, and I am locked and loaded. I cannot wait to see Spain. Well, what I'm hoping will be Spain and France. I don't want to get too ahead of myself. We got a whole other match to watch tomorrow.
I think that'll happen, too. And then we'll see if we get the England-Argentina semifinal in Atlanta that I might lose my mind on. I make no guarantees. It's been a wild ride. There are still a few more games, and we're getting down to the business end of this tournament. I'll be back with you tomorrow night to take you through what happened with Spain and Belgium and anything else that happens in the soccer world between now and then. Always fun with a little AST intersection crossover. We'll be doing this again a couple more times during this tournament. But for now, adios, everybody.
Adios. Thanks for putting up with me, guys.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on Auto Trader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's key.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on Auto Trader. Really?
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get 2 phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped mussel oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.